Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
Someone has well said that freedom is not free. The freedoms we have in this country have been bought with a terrible price over the years. And I think that it's fitting and appropriate that there be such a day as we call Memorial Day, at which time our minds can reflect on the past history of this great nation, and we can remember the many, many brave-hearted men and women who have freely given their lives in order that this nation might remain free. Freedom is not free. It's bought with a price. Several years back, Fran and I were privileged to visit Williamsburg, Virginia. And it was there that the patriot Patrick Henry made his great speech and closed it with those words that continue to vibrate in our hearts even today. Give me liberty or give me death. And those words were sort of the keynote of the Revolutionary War. Give me liberty or give me death. I think also of the great patriot Nathan Hale, who was about to be hanged by the British. And the last words that issued forth from his mouth were these: I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. You see, the spirit of sacrifice that came from those great men of times past still thrill our hearts even today. Bringing it down to more recent times, one of the great Marine generals of World War II, in commenting on the valor that was demonstrated on the island of Iwo Jima, said this: uncommon valor was a common virtue. And this morning, even as I picked up the Dallas Morning News, I noticed an article of four young men from Ennis, Texas, who played on the same high school football team back in 1941, who all four lost their lives on Iwo Jima. And I don't think we should forget those things. I know the tendency is to forget what has happened in times past, and especially as the years go by. But we need to remember all of those who have given so freely in order that we might be free today. And Memorial Day is a day chosen lest we do forget. Now, with all that said, and the importance of it very clear indeed, yet at the same time, there's something that supersedes in importance, remembering mere human beings. While we cherish the memory of men and women who have sacrificed their lives, we need to cherish more than anything else the Almighty God who has provided for us in such a wonderful way and indeed purchased our freedom from sin through the precious blood of His Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said to Christians, you have been bought with a price. And what a terrible price was paid in order that you and myself might be free from sin and its consequences. The cost was the blood of Christ as He sacrificed His life on the cross for you and me. And the Bible addresses that great subject. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter said to Christians, you have been redeemed not with corruptible things, not with silver or gold handed down from your vain manner of life from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. But think what was accomplished by the shedding of that blood. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So in Christ Jesus we've been set free from sin and the consequences thereof, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a price was paid for our spiritual freedom. Brethren, I admonish each one of us this morning as individuals, and certainly as a collective body of His people, let us never, never, never forget God. Let us never, never, never forget our Lord Jesus Christ and what has been done for us that we could not do for ourselves. I want our minds to go all the way back to the time when Moses addressed the children of Israel shortly before they crossed over the River Jordan into the promised land of Canaan. If you have your Bible in hand, which I hope you do, open it up, please, to the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And follow with me, beginning at about verse 10 of that chapter. Now, Moses is anticipating the children of Israel going in to possess the promised land. And he had this to say to them, beginning with verse 10 of Deuteronomy 8. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, notice verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Well, when we read that, maybe the first thought that comes to my mind is, well, surely they wouldn't forget. Think of all the benefits that God had granted the children of Israel. Had he not brought them out through his powerful arm from Egyptian bondage? Had he not demonstrated his power time and time again? And had he not demonstrated, in conjunction with that manifestation of power, his great concern and care for the people and his ability to provide for them? And the answer is unequivocally yes. And yet we infer from reading this passage that there was a danger that these very ones might forget God, as unthinkable as that thought may be. There was still that possibility, and thus the admonition, whatever you do, don't forget God. Drop down with me to verse 18, if you would, of the same chapter. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Notice verse 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Now, we read that, and our minds reflect on a lot of different things. Number one, how could they possibly forget God, and yet we perceive that there was that possibility, or else Moses would not have admonished them in such a way as that. And then we bring it down to our time. Has this nation forgotten God? Have we as a people forgotten all of the benefits that have enriched our lives, all the days of our lives? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I just think of my own life, how blessed I've been all the days of my life, born in a free land and country with wonderful godly parents who taught me God's Word, who trained me, who encouraged me, those who taught me in the school systems of this nation, the ones who suffered and gave their lives in order that freedom might continue, the benefits that we have in this land of plenty. Plenty of food to eat, clothes to wear, houses to live in, all of the blessings of our present society. How blessed we are. And God has granted those things to us, and He is the one that is deserving of all the praise and all the glory. But yet there is that very real possibility that we could forget. And I think as a nation, we have forgotten in large measure that this country was founded upon faith in God. And our forefathers were people of prayer and people of thanksgiving. And they remembered what blessings were theirs, and this was expressed. And so it was in the Bible by some. I want you to remember David, the sweet singer of Israel, and also one of the great kings of Israel. As you may recall, the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines. But finally, Israel got the covenant, or Ark of the Covenant, back, and David had made a place for it. And it was brought and placed in the place that David had prepared for it. And then David wrote a psalm, one of his many psalms. Only most of them are recorded in the book of Psalms. But this particular one is recorded in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. So if you have your Bible, open it up to the book of 1 Chronicles. And I want you to note verse 7 to begin with. David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord for all that he had done. Well, let's see what the psalm said. We're not going to read all of it, but we are going to read excerpts from it. Beginning in verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 16, David said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Now notice that. Make known his deeds among the people. You see, people need to be reminded. They need to have their memories refreshed, lest we forget. And so David was trying to do that very thing. Verse 9, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." Now look at verse 12, everyone. "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." And then drop down to verse 29. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Brother Parrish, in the prayer that he led us in a few moments ago, ascribed glory and honor and majesty and praise to God, and very fittingly so. And when he included that in the prayer that he led us in, I thought of the psalm from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 that I was going to share with you. Speak of his wonderful works. Remember what he has done. Well, to a great extent, each first day of the week is Memorial Day for Christians, isn't it? Because we try to reflect upon what God has done for us. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. "God commended his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We could just cite one verse after another telling us what God has done for us in the spiritual realm. But not only has he benefited us in the spiritual realm, he has benefited us in the physical realm likewise. "Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, neither shadow, which is cast by turning." James chapter 1 and verse 17. We sing a song every once in a while called, "O thou fount of every blessing." And how true that is. God is the fount of every blessing. And brethren, we need to remember what God has done for us, just as David included in the psalm so long ago. Remember his marvelous works and what he hath done, and be thankful. And never, never, never be guilty of forgetting him. And there is that very real danger, as unthinkable as it might be. Did Israel forget God? We're going to see before our lesson is over that indeed they did. Would it be possible for us to forget God? Yes, indeed, it would be possible. Let's look at a few other passages that relate to all of this. In the 63rd Psalm, let's note some of the opening verses of that particular psalm. And those of you in my Wednesday night class know that we recently studied this. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, that is, in his dwelling place. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied, and in the last part of that verse, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And I've suggested to those in my class that when we pillow our head in the process of drifting off to sleep, that that's one of the finest times that you will find in your life to think about God as our benefactor, as the Father of our spirits, as the one who has provided for us in such a tender and loving and caring way all the days of our lives, and who has made it possible for us to be saved from sin and to have the hope of life eternal. And all of that revolves around the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's one reason Carl started the worship off this morning with the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. It's a story that never, never, never grows old. Turn on over with me to the 77th Psalm. And we want to note a couple of verses that we find in that great psalm. I want you to look at verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. And that's exactly what we're doing this morning. We're talking about the importance of remembering God as the fount of all blessings and all that He has supplied for us. A few moments ago, Brother Chuck read to us from Psalm 105, and I would like to share those verses with you again for sake of emphasis. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of His wondrous works. Notice how close that is to 1 Chronicles 16. Glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And then verse 5, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. How many times does the Bible have to tell us before it begins to really soak in? It is important that we remember God. And if it's important that we remember God and all of His benefits toward us, certainly it is important that we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Freedom is not free. Freedom comes at a great and terrible price. And so have those who preceded us in our national life made great sacrifices. And yet so soon do we forget. How many of the battles of World War II, for an example, do we really remember and give much thought to anymore? And yet in all of those conflicts, there were people, citizens just like you and me, who laid down their lives in order that this nation may remain free. But so soon we forget. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. If we're not reminded, if it's not brought to our attention, it's easy for us to forget. And that's exactly what Israel did. While you're right there in this section of Psalm, look at Psalm 106 and verse 13. And this pretty well depicts what happened. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. They soon forgot His works. Isn't that sad? Why, you wouldn't have thought those people would have forgotten God. What if you had been among those Israelites so delivered from Egyptian bondage by the mighty hand of God. Do you think right now, looking back over that you would have forgotten God? And your answer would be, well, no, I wouldn't have forgotten Him, but Israel did. Why, it wasn't any time at all after they had left Egyptian bondage when Moses went up to receive the law on Mount Sinai that Aaron and the children of Israel below were making a golden calf. And Aaron declaring to the people, here is your God that has delivered you from bondage. Can you imagine that? That they could so soon forget? But they did. Could you imagine our nation as a whole forgetting God? Well, it's very clearly that a vast majority have forgotten God when you think of all the sinfulness and unrighteousness that is prevalent in our society today. What other conclusion could you come to? Our people have forgotten God to a large measure. But let something happen of dire circumstances and see how quick everybody remembers God all of a sudden. Such as September the 11th, 2001. None of us will ever forget that, I don't think. But for the next few days, yeah, even a few weeks after that, this nation turned back to God and everybody was praying and brought to their knees. But let a few months go by and soon people start forgetting again and going right back into their sinful ways. And that's just exactly the pattern that we see in the cycle of Israel back in the Old Testament times. When things were going good and they had plenty of money, as it were, and plenty of food to eat and all, the tendency was to forget God. But let them get into trouble, and the first thing they did was to turn back to God. And what I'm saying this morning to all of us is, let's never, never forget God. But let's be thankful every day that we live and offer Him the praise of our lips and show by lives well lived that we truly are grateful. Never, never forget Him. But Israel did. This is what we read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. Of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and have forgotten God that formed thee. Well, I hope and pray none of us will ever forget God that formed us. I want to turn back to the book of Judges and look at one other passage, and then we'll conclude our lesson this morning. In the third chapter of the book of Judges, verses 5 through 7, this is what we read. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baal. Can you imagine that? That these people would turn their back on the true and the living God who had benefited them in such marvelous, miraculous ways and do the very thing which God had forbade that they do. Through Moses, He had said, when you go in and take the land of Canaan, I don't want you to make any league with the nations that are there. I don't want you to give your children to intermarry with them because they will turn away your hearts from Me and they will turn to serve other gods. And Judges chapter 3 verses 5 through 7 tells us that's exactly what happened. They soon forgot God. Let us resolve then as we conclude our lesson to never, never forget God, but to remember daily what He has done and to communicate with one another. Talk of His marvelous works among ourselves. Teach our children how great God is, that He is the Creator of all things. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And tell our youngsters about His power and His wisdom in speaking it all into existence. And remind them every day of the biblical record that tells of His marvelous deeds among His people. And tell them about Jesus Christ, the story of our Lord, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what our Lord did, and what our Lord taught, and what He did for us in giving His life on the cross, shedding His precious life's blood in order to purchase us back from the very clutches of Satan. And to set us free, to give us hope that transcends this veil of tears. To God be the praise. To Jesus Christ be thanksgiving for what He has done for us. May we never, never forget. This Memorial Day that we're going to experience tomorrow may be very meaningful to us in reflecting upon the past heroes of our nation. But let's never put any human being or group of human beings over and beyond what matters so much more, and that is the memory of our God, who still lives as the supreme sovereign of this universe, who still benefits us every day with countless innumerable blessings, and is leading us kindly and gently home to be with Him forever. Unto Him be the praise and the glory forever and forever. And to Jesus Christ, His Son, who has done so much for us that we might have life and have it abundantly. If you're present this morning and you're not a Christian, we would urge you to come with faith in God, with faith in Jesus Christ, and obey the terms of pardon found in the gospel. Turn away from sin with a penitent heart, with a broken and contrite spirit. Admit to yourself and before God, I am in sin and I am lost in that sin. And if I don't accept the great salvation which God has provided, I'm going to be eternally separated from Him forever and forever. We need to repent of sins and be willing to confess from our mouths and from our hearts Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then be buried with our Lord by baptism into His death, just as His Word teaches, that through the grace of God we may be forgiven, through the blood of Christ our sins be washed away, that we might arise to walk in newness of life as new creatures in Christ. If we are members of the church and we've wandered away, come back home and make things right this morning, we pray.